The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. This wasn't my strongest week. John really carried me this week. You did a great job. I'm a little, not really under the weather, just exhausted. So John had to carry me this week. He even spiced things up with his in book club, and he has this not suitable for work reading. Check that out at the end. That's kind of interesting. And of course, we get into some news and other stuff. So let's get into the store. Hey, John, how we doing?
I'm doing fantastic, DJ. How are you?
Nice. Back to normal. Isn't that
back
nice?
Back to normal. Nice. It is. It's like slipping on an old pair of shoes, you know?
I thought you were going to say a banana peel.
No.
I was like, slipping?
Snuggling up in front of the fire,
yeah,
you know?
Nice and that's what I need. I've had a busy last few days. I'm woefully unprepared tonight. I apologize, but hey, I'm here.
As opposed to normally when you're just woeful. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm woefully, yeah, exactly. I'm woefully prepared.
Right.
I'm like, oh, sorry, wrong thing. I read some books, but I'm not as much as I would like to have read recently. So.
Well, same here, so.
So, all right. So, how was your week? That was good. Nice to see you.
All right. You can find us at the Brightside Chat on gmail.com.
Exactly. What do we got going on this week? Anything good for news?
Not a lot that I was able to put together. Just a couple of things. First story I have, it looks like the rumors are that they are shopping the Stargirl show to the CW. As opposed to DC Universe app.
They must be making room for all of those, like...
Yeah. All of those unscripted
you
know, submissions from all the subscribers, yeah. So, yeah, this came through, you know, again, comicbook.com, so take it with a grain of salt. But, it just throws a little bit more doubt on the future of DC Universe. In light of HBO Max and like what really is going to end up going on there. But, the only new show that they had advertised coming up in the near future now looks like it might be moving somewhere else. So
yeah,
I don't know what's going on there. I mean, they still have Titans and Titans is still one of the best shows going, but that's not enough to keep like that show alone isn't enough to keep that thing going. Not in competition with Disney Plus. So. I know you like to jump on my butt when
I agree
DC
with
Universe,
you because
but.
I think it's going to get folded into HBO Max.
Something,
I mean,
I think something's going to
happen. We said
that
a long time ago. And I'm not opposed
to
that.
But they were
that.
Adamant in saying that it wouldn't happen.
Who
but
was?
DC Universe was saying originally that that wasn't going to happen. But it's starting to look more and more like it might be.
Well, I don't know why.
But again, even if that was going to happen, like, why does that mean you have to shop Stargirl to the CW?
Yeah.
Like, why can't it still just be on HBO? Because HBO Max is going to need content as well. So.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe the tone of the show, you know, maybe they just feel like it might work better on the CW. Maybe they don't want this particular show to be, you know, the R-rated comic book variety show. But I guess my argument to that would be you don't have to have, like, nothing on DC Universe says that you have to curse in your superhero show.
No, because they have Young Justice.
Just because you have Doom Patrol and Titans, which, you know, are happy to throw around the F-bomb, it doesn't mean that Stargirl has to do that.
Right.
I don't know. I don't really know what's going on there. But it does throw a little bit, you know, throws a little bit more doubt onto the future of DC Universe. To the point where, you know, come January when my subscription is up, you know, I might keep it going on a month-to-month basis.
Yeah.
But I'm not signing up for any 12 or 15 month commitments because not that they wouldn't give us our money. But I'm sure they would somehow, you know, reimburse us, but you would hope.
Yeah.
but yeah, I'll definitely be on the month to month plan unless, you know, they really have something concrete for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I feel the same way, but I'm not worried, because I guess in a bad way, I'm not worried. We're going to have so much other content. It's like, if it went dark, we'd be, you know, as long as it doesn't go dark until November 12th.
Right. Right, exactly. You know?
But,
well, we get Apple TV on the 1st, I think, don't we?
What's that going to be like? Four shows that maybe we'll watch?
I'm going to watch the Jason Momoa show for sure. And, you know, definitely Snoopy in space whenever that hits. But some of the other ones I'm not as excited about.
Right.
That might be a month to month thing too, and I'm going to watch C and I'm going to be done. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens there. But, anyways, next bit of news, it looks like we have a Riddler for the Matt Reeves Batman movie. Paul Dano was cast as the Riddler. I think that's a great choice. I like him quite a bit.
He looks the part, that's for sure.
He definitely looks the part. Looks like this movie, the only thing that makes me a little bit nervous about this movie is it's starting to become, you know, like the Spider-Man 3, like,
villain
or Batman and Robin. Yeah, we don't need to have a million, cause, you know, Jonah Hill dropped out and the rumor was that he was gonna be the Penguin. So maybe, you know, obviously they're looking to cast a Penguin, we have a Riddler, we have a Catwoman. Now again, Selina doesn't necessarily have to be a villain in this movie. You know, she could be, you know, the anti-hero, quasi-hero with Bruce, you know.
Yeah.
We don't really know. But same thing, you know, whenever you get too many villains mixing around.
Well, did I hear?
It just hasn't been traditionally a recipe for success, so.
Did I hear that there was, it could be like Hush? It could have tones from Hush? Did I hear that about this project, or was that another?
No,
one
it's
I
the
heard?
Long Halloween that they were talking about.
Oh,
that
okay.
This was supposed to be somewhat loosely adapted, anyway, off the Long Halloween. Now, again, I'm going to show that I'm a bad comic book store owner because I've read the Long Halloween a long time ago.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you a single thing about it right now. It's been so long, and I've read so many other books since then. I remember that it's a good story and
yeah,
that
yeah.
I liked it, but. I don't know anything about it. I don't know if it had the Riddler or Catwoman or anybody
in it. Yeah,
off
the top
it,
of
so.
My head, I don't remember it either. I know it was a year. You know, it took place over a span of a year, so that's
right.
going to be a long time for a movie.
Right. Well, and again, we don't know if this is the trilogy right. based around the Long Halloween or if it's
true.
You know, just the one movie. You know, who knows? You know, again, details are really... All we know for sure is who's been cast. We don't really know anything else about
yeah.
it. So, could be lots of these things or it could be none of them by the time we actually get to see it. So, but you know, like I said, the cast itself is shaping up well. Like, I like everybody that they've got in it. I just get a little nervous when I see too many characters and too many villains.
Right.
You know? Because
yeah.
they're also talking about at some point throughout the trilogy introducing Nightwing and Batgirl. And, you know, again, we've seen the Avengers, so we know we can have movies that have 10 characters in them. But,
yeah, but
I just don't know how you service all those characters in one movie if you haven't built them up over
right. That's what
10
I was
previous
say.
Movies.
Yeah.
You know, again, you can do an Avengers because we had an Iron Man movie and we had Captain, like, we had movies
right.
individually.
They've already
built
been fleshed
up.
Out on their own.
Right. They don't need to be depth-ed. They've already had depth. So, see what I did
nice
there.
Nice callback. I like that.
But, you know, in this movie here, you know, in theory, we're meeting all these characters for the first time, even though we've met Batman a million times in
right.
the movies before. So I don't know. Like I said, we'll see. I like Matt Reeves, so I like to think that, you know, he's got a handle on what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, we'll have to wait and see. And then I've just got one more thing, unless you have anything else.
I got a few others. A couple of things we can hit on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, let me just, the last thing I had is it looks like we are getting a new Harry Potter movie in the near future. It looks like they're going to do a live, a movie adaptation of The Cursed Child, which is the play.
The play that Meg saw?
Yeah, that your daughter yep. went to. But it looks like everybody is signed on. All the original cast is signed
oh, wow.
on to come back. What's great about it is they don't have to even do anything with the aging now because it's been so many years
right.
since the last one. They all pretty much look like
yeah.
they're have adult children now, so you know how I feel about the aging.
I was just going to say, and I know how you feel about aging.
I'm all about that. But, you know, it's been 10 years since the last one, probably, or more, so.
Yeah.
You know, so like I said, I'm really looking forward to that, because I didn't get a chance to see the play. And I actually have checked, and it doesn't come anywhere near, because if it came anywhere near Houston, I'd have gone to see it, because yeah. I'm really interested in it. But it doesn't, you know, really come here. It plays in New York and California pretty much, and that's it. So, but yeah, I think that's really cool that, you know, they've got everybody signed up. You know, obviously it's in the early stages, so we're years away from actually getting to see it, but, it's still pretty cool. So, that's it. I know you've got a couple things.
Couple of trailers. Did you see the Bloodshot trailer?
No.
Oh, no?
I actually haven't seen it. I kind of forgot about it until you just mentioned it.
Typical Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah.
Not really. I need to see the movie. Not really sure how this is going to play out compared to the comic.
Yeah.
There parts of it seem to be okay, but then there's other parts where you're like,
I'm not super familiar with the comic. I've only really read one issue ever of it, which was the first issue of the latest run that we got that
I read that and then read back to a few others so that I could familiarize. And then I see that the movie's coming out, and I'm like, I see what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't know much about the character, although he seems to be kind of like a jack-of-all-trades, has every kind of power that he would ever need type of thing. You know, because he has those nanites or whatever that allow him to adapt to pretty much anything. So, we'll have to see how it translates into...
I thought Vin Diesel was still acting.
Well, yeah. Well, I am Groot, if you can call that acting.
But I haven't seen him on screen.
No. Well, last thing, he's been talking a lot about another Riddick movie. I can't really remember the last thing that. Yeah. I guess he was in one of the Fast and Furious movies. Well, I don't watch those, so.
Oh, he's been in a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, but even the last several. Well, no, he was. I guess it's Hobbs and Shaw that he's
Hobbs
not
and
in.
Shaw, he wasn't
but
in.
He's, yeah, so the last Fast and the Furious movie is probably the last thing he did. But I haven't seen any of those, so I can't tell you the last thing I've seen him do.
All right. And another trailer. Did you see the last Star Wars trailer?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did. Well, because I was watching the football game.
So you could have walked away.
I could have, but I wanted to see it. Well, I was pretty lit by the time it came on.
Yeah, you were. I was getting the texts.
Yeah. I know. Just putting it out there, I was willing to record and do a show.
Yeah.
But my co-host was not willing. He didn't even respond to my text, by the way. He was pretty rude about the whole thing.
I just wanted to pretend like it didn't happen. I just got home from practice. I was eating. I get these incessant texts. I'm hammered. Let's record now.
had I been in my right mind, I might have walked away from the trailer. But I will say this. It didn't excite me as much as the trailer before it. Like, the previous trailer, I liked better.
You know what's so funny? We're the opposite. And I feel like, so in this trailer here, we don't need to break down the whole trailer. But
no.
Did you feel like this trailer was a little bit more, like, to the light side, whereas the last trailer was more to the dark side? Perfect example,
a little
C-3PO.
Bit, yeah. Yeah.
C-3PO in the last one had red eyes. Everybody's wondering, why is he evil? And in this one, he's saying, I'd like to say goodbye to my friends.
Which, like, you know.
Whatever it was. But
rolled a tear there a little bit. You know, I was oh, man.
The end of it with the voiceover by Leia.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. First six times I saw it, I got a little choked up.
Yeah. Now, the only thing, I'll tell you, the one thing I did see that excited me was where it looked like Rey and Kylo were kind of teaming up.
Yeah,
together.
Was that a team up, or was that like they accidentally went that way and destroyed a nice black statue or something?
I don't know. I think it seems to me, and again, I don't know, wild speculation, but it seems to me that they're both probably facing off against the Emperor there.
Probably.
He becomes the common enemy, and, you know, they both kind of band together. But I don't know, again, because
I feel like
there's a lot of misdirection going on.
But you wouldn't put that big climactic scene in a trailer.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it's more plausible than that they just ran into each other and decided, hey, let's smash this thing in front of us together.
Right.
So, I think they were at least, they went together. I don't know what else is happening, but
speaking of Star Wars, so we have the notification during the day that the tickets are supposed to go on sale.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Joe.
Thanks, Dr. Joe.
I definitely would have missed those tickets.
I was on the ice.
Yeah.
I get off the ice, I'm in the locker room, so the coaches, we have our own locker room, and I get on and I start seeing the tweets, and you had texted me, so I was like, I saw that first. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
you didn't,
no.
You ignored that too.
So. Well, I didn't ignore it. I got right on, and the room was sold out except for one seat up in the back corner. And I was like, well, I got to get it because I got to at least see it. And then I bought tickets for the next day as well with better seats, but that room was starting to sell out. Yeah. And I'm like, this is, I almost lost out on it, and it's like,
well,
I was on
waited
the ice
till...
coaching, so I didn't have a choice, but.
Yeah, if I would have waited till halftime, I wouldn't have got tickets for Thursday night.
Yeah.
Because when Dr. Joe actually even put the text out, there was a handful of seats left in the theater. Now, again, I could have looked at other times and other theaters, but.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted the XD theater at 7 o'clock, you know.
Right.
But. If I would have waited till halftime, everything would have been sold out.
Yeah.
As it was, there was probably a dozen seats left in the theater. But yeah, that was pretty shady, actually, to announce that the tickets are going to go on sale basically right after the trailer airs. And then 3 hours earlier, the tickets are already on sale.
Yeah.
It's pretty shady. Pretty shady practice there. But it wasn't just one theater, obviously. It must have been everybody because.
Yeah.
Like, I was shopping Cinemark. I don't know what you were shopping, but.
Showcase.
Okay, so different theater chains altogether.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it must have been industry-wide where they all went on sale at a certain time. But yeah, luckily I did get my seats. And now, did you see that they broke Endgame pre-sales?
Did they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen anything.
I don't expect this to break Endgame's total box office, obviously, because Star Wars won't travel in the overseas market as well as Endgame did.
Really?
But, yeah, I think the China, supposedly, from what I was reading, the Asian markets are not good for Star Wars, whereas, Endgame cranked over there, did tons of money.
Yeah.
But the pre-sales, they broke records for this, which I just think is good because, you know, there's just so much Star Wars negativity out there, and you know, I just like to see that there are still plenty of people that are excited
for
this movie.
I think the negativity in most of this stuff is pretty, it's the minority, but.
It is, but I don't know, still. Here I'm babbling, you can cut that out, but I just like to see that there was a lot of people excited about it to the point where, you know, it was breaking pre-sale records.
Right.
Like I said, I don't expect it to hold up in the long run to Endgame, because I think Endgame will just end up doing more. Like, for this movie to do $3 billion would be a minor miracle.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be a flop by any means.
No.
So.
Oh, God, no. All right. One last question before we get into a few tweets. Did you happen to see Watchmen yet?
No. Funny story. No, well, I went to watch it last night.
I like stories.
Yeah, I sat down to watch it last night with my wife, and somehow I mistakenly set my DVR to record off of HBO Latino and not like the regular HBO. So
you
I
kept
started
looking
watching
at Lydia
it.
Going, what did she say?
Well, it was funny because right before the show, they were showing the trailer for His Dark Materials, which actually also looks really good. And the trailer was written in English, but it had all these Spanish subtitles going across the bottom. And I was like, why am I seeing subtitles for this in Spanish when I don't have subtitles turned on? And then when it went to the Between the Shows logo, it said HBO Latino.
Oh,
and I was
geez.
Like, oh, geez. I was like, but if I can just watch the whole thing, if the whole thing's going to be in English and they're just going to have Spanish subtitles, well, I'll just watch it. But sadly, that wasn't the case. The whole show was in Spanish. So,
how do you get your HBO? Drew
DirecTV. Well, I know what you're going to say, so I'll stop you right there. I could have gone to HBO Now or whatever,
right,
HBO Go, and watched it. But So I deleted the recording. I saw that it was coming on again at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
so I just set it up to record again. I have a million things on my DVR, so I just moved on to another show.
Yeah.
And I figure I'll watch it tomorrow.
But
yeah, I really want to see it. But...
Yeah, I watch everything through Apple now because Dish has some kind of dispute with HBO. So you, back when I don't have it on Dish. And back when Game of Thrones was starting up, like that night, I get on to watch it. And now
it's gone.
It's not even there. I'm like, how do I sign up for this? Right. And it wasn't even there. And I ended up just, you know, like a half hour before Game of Thrones season 8 started, I was like, oh, HBO, and I subscribed, and it's the same price as if you had it on your network.
Yeah, it's the same, and I can watch it through Apple TV also because I have the app, and I have a subscription through DirecTV. But for convenience, I just record every, you know, I just use the DVR to record things. But like I said, it wasn't... I had technical difficulties when I went to watch it, so.
It's in Spanish.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Which was fine for Lydia.
That's what I was going to say. She was fine.
Well, it would have been okay. Like, I would have caught about half of it, but I wouldn't have really got everything that was going on, so.
Yeah, that's... All right. We'll talk about that one later.
Yeah.
It's good, though. I liked it.
I've heard good things about it from the people that have watched it seem to like it, so.
Yeah. It's, I'll say it seems to be true to the book and, you know, and the movie, the feel.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of it anyways. And I mean, there's a lot more to it, but it'll be fun to talk
about.
Right.
We'll
talk
next
week.
Yeah. It's going to be more of a long form story anyway.
Yeah.
So,
I was talking with my brother about it and like same thing. It's like, it's nice that it's this is the way things need to be done now instead of movies.
I know. It's like I almost don't want movies anymore. I want everything to be 8 episodes on some streaming service.
Yeah.
Plus, that way I don't have to leave my house. I can
do
everything right from my couch. Yep. But yeah, like a 2-hour movie now, it feels like it's not telling enough story.
Right.
I just want more. So.
All right. Let's see. We got some tweets come in from our... Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Jedi.
Revenge of the Jedi.
Before
we get into the tweets, we didn't rank. As I was listening back to it, I realized that we didn't rank the movie. So, I mean, I guess we could do it real quick right now since I brought it up. But
so far, then I put it third.
Are we rating it just in the original trilogy, or are we rating it against the six that we've watched?
Rating against the six we've watched.
So it's number 2. No. Yeah, you're right. It's 3.
It's number 3. Third. It's the third. Yeah. It goes 4.
Basically,
5,
it goes
6,
4, 5, and 6. Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 3, 1, 2.
3, 2, 1 for me.
Yeah. I don't know. So.
But yeah, I just, for consistency's sake, I figure, we didn't rate it. And we always do that, so.
We talked about everything else.
Yeah.
We got some tweets. Paul Fossetti, at Fossetti 62 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Great episode at 42. I remember going to the drive-in to see this. Was blown away. The Ewoks worked on me being young. I had the village speeder bikes, everything from Endor. Looking back now, it was too much of them. But oh boy, did I and still do spend a few minutes with Slave Leia.
Yeah.
And then he said in a later tweet, he's like, yeah, I actually got emotional when she passed away. But yeah, a lot of people spent a few minutes with Slave Leia.
Yeah.
Dr. Joe, I remember as a kid, the opening to Return of the Jedi being one of my favorite Star Wars scene. Looking back now, Return of the Jedi has some of the same fast-forward moments that the prequels have. But as a youth, I loved it. Up until Endor, Return of the Jedi is fantastic. Also, the redemption of Vader was and is awesome.
Yeah,
that's basically the entire story arc of the first six, of 1 through 6, is the rise and fall of Vader redemption.
Yeah.
And then, but one of the things I thought about that too is when I read Dr. Joe's tweet is like, that's a great example of like what we always say about these movies. It's like when you look at them with adult eyes, you're like, we tear them apart.
Right.
You know, and we did that. Like when we did 1 through 3, we, you know, the first time, your first 6 times you saw it, you were like so excited to see it and it was great. It's been so many years. And then as the years go on, you're like, ugh, wow, this is tough, you know, and it's because we're adults.
Right. Well, and again, we've said it before. None of them are perfect movies. As much as we love the, you know, the original trilogy, they're not perfect. I mean, they've got lots of flaws too. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like. And we pointed those out, so we will.
We did,
on.
Yeah.
Oh, we got JR at Hooded Collector. Did you see his tweet? His request. We'll try to pull it off sometime. At Brightside Chat, how about a what if issue of the Brightside Chat where DJ owned the comic book store and John walked in for the week?
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. I missed that one.
Yeah. I was like, that'd be a good idea. I'm like,
sure, we can do that.
Yeah, we could do that sometime. Bizarro Brightside.
There you go. Brightside Unscripted.
Yeah, well, it is unscripted.
We're going to pitch that to DC Universe.
Yeah. And Backcracker with
maybe
the
they'll shop us to the CW.
Backcracker with the question of the week. Brightside and Arkham Comics. If you guys could pick any writer/artist combo, who would you pick and what story would you want them to tell? You first.
Me first?
Yeah.
All right.
It'd be so funny if all the people we end up with the same.
Oh, I don't think we will. So the creative team for me was super easy when I read this question, because I've said it 100 times before. My favorite book/series of all times is the New Teen Titans from the 80s, Marv Wolfman and George Perez. So that would be the team that I would want to see back together again. You know, my all-time favorite team. The story was a lot, like I had to think a lot harder about what kind of story I wanted.
So
I spent a lot, I spent a lot of time thinking about this. Because originally I was thinking about stories that already exist and whether I just wanted to see them redoing it.
Yeah.
But that's not what I would want.
No.
So then I went through all kinds of permutations of what kind of stories I would want to tell. So what I finally came up with is, a series of books kind of based around, I really loved Spider-Man Life Story by Chip Zdarsky. So what I would kind of want to see is that team adapting that formula in a series of one-shots with all the main DC characters. You know, a Batman life story, a Superman life story. You know, because then, again, depending on when you started this, you could take Superman through World War II, you know, and all that life from there. You know, because all these characters started in the 30s, you know, late 30s, early 40s. And they were all around World War II, maybe... you know, ending into the Vietnam era and things like that. So that's what I would like. I would like to see a series of those stories. So it's a little bit of a cop out because we've seen that story with one character, but I would again like to see it again with, you know, not every single DC character, obviously, but the main, you know, the heavy hitters at least. And maybe they don't all have to start in the same time. Like I know they were all created in the 40s, but every story doesn't have to start and take place there, you know, because that would get stale too. But if you started them each at a different point in history and just went forward from there, I think it would be really cool. So that's my answer.
Okay. So I read it differently. I read it like if I could combine any artist and writer. So I picked Tom King and Jim Lee.
And to combine them into what?
To do a story. Okay, but the story I want them to tell is I want Tom King to like how he's going to be doing Batman, you know, Batcat.
Uh-huh.
I want, because I like the way he's writing right now, and that's the first thing I thought of. I wanted to have him write the story of like Wolverine and Mystique and tell that kind of a story. And with Jim Lee doing the art, I mean, it's going to blow you away.
Right.
But I thought, like, if you could tell a love story type deal, with Wolverine, with how, you know, kind of like the same idea of like he's not like Batman dark like that, but he's gruff.
For sure. And
if you show that other side of him, which I think Tom King is really good at showing, like family stories, like, you know, Mr. Miracle and,
right,
you know, and what he's been doing so far in Batman, showing that other side of Bruce Wayne.
Right.
I thought that would be a lot of fun. Cool. And that's a story like, that doesn't exist. I mean,
no,
he
it doesn't.
He's had relationships and he's had a relationship with Mystique here and there, but it's right. not, you know, that would definitely be something that would send ripples through the X-Men universe.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought that would be fun.
Cool.
And that's what I came up with.
Awesome.
So, all right. What else do we have? Anything else good?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. All right. You ready to get into some books?
Sure.
Oh, and it was Ernie's birthday this week. Same day as Carrie Fisher.
I saw that. Yes. Yeah. Happy birthday.
So, happy birthday to Ernie from Friendly Neighborhood Comics.
Yeah.
All right. What am I spending my money on this week?
All right. So the first book we have on our list is The Amazing Mary Jane, issue number one. So the Art Germ variant for this, which was an open-to-order variant, it didn't have any ratios attached, but it had a secret variant that came along with it. So if you look at the Art Germ variant, down at the bottom, there's what looks like a movie slate, you know, where they write the title of the movie and whatever. And most of the variants have, like, the title of the book there done in, like, red font. You know, it looks like just like a regular comic book cover.
Yeah.
But there is a secret variant that seemed to be about a 1 in 10 ratio where it was handwritten in chalk on the little slate board as opposed
oh, really?
To the... Yeah. So if you can find one of those out there, they're kind of mixed, you know, they would have just been mixed in with all the Art Germ variant covers. You know, you really kind of had to dig to look for them. They're selling for about $20 right now. So that's definitely something you can go hunt for because again, I don't know if every store noticed it or was even clued in on it. If I hadn't seen it on a Facebook group, I wouldn't have even known to look for it. Because I would have just checked them all in as one big pile of books.
Right.
You know, I don't typically examine every single cover in a stack of, I don't have time to do that. So, I bet you there's a lot of stores where this thing flew under the radar and, might be something you can pick up for cover price. The next book is Batman Beyond, issue number 37. So this book is the first appearance of Batwoman Beyond. There's two covers available for this and they both look to be selling for about $20 right now. So again, if you can go pick one of those up, like I left all mine at cover price on the shelf because it's a brand new book and I wasn't going to jack the prices up, for that. But, like I said, if you can find them on the shelf, they're going for about $20. Marvel Action Spider-Man issue number 10. There's a 1 in 10 variant for this, which is selling for about $50. That's crazy for a 1 in 10 variant to be selling for $50. It's a Venom cover. It's a really good looking cover. And again, this is a title that a lot of stores order way less than 10 copies of. So I think there's just, again, not a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
I order 6 or 7 copies of this book. I know a lot of stores might order 2 or 3. I have a kid spinner rack up at the front for kids books and I order extra copies to keep on that rack at all the time. And that's the only reason why I even ordered 6 or 7 of them. But again, if you can find it out there, it's, you know, $50. And last but not least, Money Shot, issue number 1. There are black bagged, C&D covers for this that are both selling for about $10 a piece. I didn't get any of those, so, I didn't even see them on the order form, to be honest with you. I only ever remember seeing the A's and B covers. So, again, if you can find those, the cover price is $3.99. So, it's a pretty good deal to pick them up. And that's it as far as speculator books.
All right. What do we have for back issue bonus?
All right. So we have Black Adam, The Dark Age, issue number one. There's a Alex Ross 1 in 10 variant cover for this. So this week, we didn't put this in our news either, but The Rock tweeted about filming for this beginning next year. And, you know, that caused the price of this to skyrocket. Was about a $25 variant. Now it's hitting almost $150. A 9.8 graded copy sold the other day for $400. So crazy money for a 1 in 10 variant.
Up until him tweeting that, wasn't it pretty much speculation? Was there anything confirmed that he was going to do it before that?
I think so. Like, that's been... Well, I don't. I mean, it's been news for a long time.
See what I mean? It's been news, but I don't.
But I think
feel it's
I'm
been...
pretty sure I've read that he was confirmed for Black Adam.
Okay,
it was just the movie itself had some doubt about whether it was ever actually going to happen or not.
Right.
He's been attached to it since the very beginning. Like, he's the only person that we've ever even heard about being attached to that movie. I didn't really think it was ever going to take place, but apparently it is. You know, I mean, they teased Black Adam a little bit in Shazam, but it's just really odd to me that this movie will exist and not be like a Shazam movie, you know?
Right.
So, we'll see. Again, you know, we don't really know any details about that other than that 2020 they're supposed to start filming. And then Justice League issue number one, the 1987 series. This is the first appearance of Maxwell Lord. He's apparently been confirmed for Wonder Woman 1984. It's only a $10 book, so it's not really that going to set you back that much if you want to pick this up. You know, again, this was a dollar book, you know, up until this announcement. So you could probably still find it pretty easily for under $10 if you look hard enough. And that's it. Not a lot of back issues bonus this week, but that's what we've got.
All right. And what do we have for FOC?
All right. So for DC variant covers, we have Batman 83, Francesco Mattina, and Justice League 36 from Tyler Kirkham. That Batman Mattina variant is really sick. Like, it's really cool. So, I'll definitely try to pick that up. And then new series, actually neither one of these is a series. They're both one shots, but we have, Batman White Knight presents Von Freeze, which obviously is a Victor Freeze, tie-in. There's two covers for that. And then Tales from the Dark Multiverse, Infinite Crisis number one, are both on FOC. And that's it for DC. From Image, we have Olympia, issue number one. That's a 5-issue miniseries. There's two covers. From Marvel, we have variant covers, Captain America, number 16. I'm going to butcher this name, I'm sure, but it looks like Young Yoon. But it's, again, really a really cool cover. And then a couple of new series and one-shots from Marvel. We have 2099 Alpha, issue number one, that has multiple covers, and that's tying into the big 2099 event that they've got coming up. Absolute Carnage, Captain Marvel, issue number one, multiple covers for that. Annihilation Scourge, Alpha, issue number one, multiple covers. Again, a lead into a pretty big event that Marvel's got planned. So it looks like we're going to have a 2099 event and the Annihilation event happening at the same time from Marvel. So that ought to be fun on the wallet. we've got Deadpool issue number one, the relaunch, multiple covers there. And then Fantastic Four 2099 number one, and there's multiple covers for that. From Boom, we have Heartbeat number one. That's going to be a 5-issue miniseries. And from Valiant, we have Rye, issue number one, and there's multiple covers for that. And that's it for FOC.
All right. Is that your phone?
I missed that. Could you say it again, please?
Apparently something on that FOC triggered Siri several times to start talking to me. I guess because I'm saying Siri's, Every time I say five issue series, my phone started squawking, but it's never done that before.
That's why I was like, we're on issue around. Is like that 50. Me?
This is like issue 50 something of this, and my phone has never done that once until today.
Yeah. So that's funny.
Yeah, so I guess I have to be careful with series. But anyway, that's it for FOC.
All right, let's get into book club.
All right. So,
you want to ask Siri what you read?
Yeah. So this is the not safe for work edition of book club?
Yeah, apparently. I got your notes. I was like, holy. I need to catch up, I guess.
I don't know if you read either one of these two books, but.
Nope. No, I haven't had a chance. I want to.
Yeah. So.
How were they?
Well, the first book is from Vault Comics. It's Money Shot, issue number one. This was written by Tim Seeley and Sarah Beatty, and it has art by Rebecca Isaacs and Kurt Michael Russell. So I don't really know how to go into the explanations of these books and keep this fairly PG rated.
I remember seeing the previews for this.
But I really like this. I actually really like this book. I've read the first two issues, actually, because we got previews for issues one and two a couple of weeks back, and I read both of these. So essentially, it takes place in the near future. Space travel has become a thing. We have basically discovered alien life out there. But the government won't back space travel. So it becomes basically privately funded. And it's obviously ridiculously expensive.
This would be.
Yeah. So this scientist, while she's, taking care of herself one evening after work, realizes that everything that she's watching online to take care of herself is pretty stagnant. Like, there's nothing new. And it's rather boring. So she gets the bright idea that she can fund her space travel by taking her team into space and filming herself and her crew having relations with alien species. And the money that they get from their subscription will pay for their space travel. So that's what this story is about. It's pretty funny. It's actually, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
It's about time somebody finally wrote this story.
Right, exactly. This is the story that needed to be told. So the title is just what it sounds like it would be.
Yep.
The money shot is just what you think it is. But it's pretty smartly written and the art is good. It's not as outrageous as the premise sounds, and it really is. It's not all that adult. I mean, there's a couple of scenes in the book, but really it's more, I mean, there's just a lot of character interaction and, you know, things going on. But I really liked it. I liked both of the first two issues. So, you know, I'd be interested to go on with this and see, you know, see where it goes going forward.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right.
There's that.
Okay. I read actually Amazing Mary Jane number one.
I read that as well.
Did you?
Yes.
Not as colorful as the book you just read?
Nope.
What did you think? So
it did have to do with making movies though.
Yes, it did. And it got a little, risque at the end too. A
little bit.
Mary Jane with the, using the old cell phone there.
Yeah.
So written by Leah Williams, art by Carlos E. Gomez.
Yep.
I liked the story. At first I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if I was going to like it, and I wasn't, like when I read Lois Lane, I liked that it had, you know, it was like kind of a mystery going on in that one. It was a little bit a deeper of a story, where this one is pretty superficial. I mean, that's pretty much the definition of everything, because it is, she's trying to make a movie. It's all fake. Right. But you don't know what's fake and what's real. And that's what kept me intrigued as it went on. And then as it wrapped up, I was like, oh, okay, I could kind of see where this was going. And, I didn't think I was going to like it about halfway through. And then by the end of it, I really did like it. Yeah. What'd you think?
I liked it a lot, actually. I really like Carlos Gomez's art. He did a long Red Sonja run. Actually, the run just before the one that's out now. Carlos Gomez did the art for the whole thing, and you know, I really like his art. I like the story too. Again, I was like you. I was really interested in reading this. I've mentioned it a couple of times over the last few weeks that I was looking forward to reading this, but I wasn't sure how much I was going to like it either, because like I didn't know what Mary Jane was going to be doing. Like, we knew that she was going to Hollywood and she was going to be making movies. That was going to be the premise of this title. And even still, after reading this one, I liked it a lot, but like, I don't know how long this book is going to sustain itself off of the story that we're getting in issue one. So,
well, I think she's going to get into trouble.
Well, I would imagine so.
You know what I mean? It's like, you could see where this is going to, by the end of the story, you're like, oh, this is just going to snowball.
But this seemed to me like, even with Lois Lane is a reporter. She has, like, you know, you're going to get that. You're going to get mysteries. Mary Jane's an actress, you know? So this kind of reminded me of one of like the 50s comics, you know? Like Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane or whatever, where she was always getting into trouble or always, you know, needing to be saved by Superman. And that was like the whole gist of the story. Mary Jane definitely doesn't need to be saved by anybody, but I just kind of wonder what she's going to be doing issue after issue after issue. Cause as far as I know, this is ongoing. It's not a mini series.
Oh, really?
I think it's ongoing. So I'm really interested to see what they do with her as a character in the long term. But this was a lot of fun. I thought, I liked some of the twists. I don't want to give anything away, but you know, there was some twists in here with the characters, you know, not being who they appeared to be. I think it's going to be fun, but long term, I'm just not sure where the series is going to go.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I like where it's going to go. Probably in the next two or three issues.
Exactly.
I can see that.
The first story arc, we kind of know, you know, at least we know where it's heading, but.
Yeah. And it was fun, too.
It was. You know, like I said, it was a lot of fun. It was quirky. There was some good interactions with her and Peter. And like I said, I like the art. And I really like the art. So I thought there were some good panels in there that looked really good. So.
It's funny, I had a conversation with TJ, obviously new to comic books, and he was funny. I can't remember which book he was reading, but he really, really liked it, and he said it was just so much fun. I wish I knew it off the top of my head, which book it was, but after reading...
Superman Year One?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, exactly. No, but after going through House and Powers... I think the next books, he read a few books and he's like, those were just so much fun. And it's like, because like Mary Jane, it's like, it's just a fun book. You're not like trying to, like he said.
It's not telling anything deep. It's not like.
Right. Well, like he said, reading House and Powers, he's like, I felt like I was studying for finals.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's a deeper story, but it's fun to have both of those types
of
stories.
It is. Everything has a place. Like, I like just. Quirky, fun comics.
Yeah.
And then, it's like the palate cleanser between big stories, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, after I read House of Powers, I want to read Mary Jane real quick and then I'll move
relaxing.
On to,
you're like
Mr.
Oh,
Miracle or something else, you know, that's deep. So,
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like a cup of water between my glasses of wine, you know? Cleanse my palate.
Yep. So. Before you move on to the next box of wine.
That's right. It's 2-liter bottles, man. I don't use boxes.
There you go. There's a funny story.
Yeah, a couple of funny stories.
All right. What's your next not safe for work book?
So my next book is SFSX, which is Safe Sex Number 1. So this is from Image Comics. This is written by Tina Horn. It had art by Michael Dowling. So again, this is another book where I've read the first two issues. I got these the same time as I read these in Money Shot basically at the same time about 3 weeks ago. This one's a little different, in the sense that, you know, we're living in the near future. But sexuality has become like politicized and policed, and morality is being kind of, meted out by the government. So, like, everybody is kind of judged on, like, a morality score that they have to live by. Like, for instance, every time, you know, a married couple has sex with each other, they have to report that they had, you know, marital sex and, you know, they didn't use any crazy positions or whatever, you know. But, like, they have to basically report what they're doing and get, like, and it goes into their score. And, you know, people
you
that
get
start...
scored?
Yeah, they get scored. Well, they have a morality score, like a morality level. But, you know, the people that start to
just
fall outside
thing
the
for
norms.
Me to fail at.
Well, right. But if you start to fall outside the norms, then, you know, the government kind of steps in and you get put on a watch list. And, you know, it's a really weird type of thing. But, but, you know, it's like we're trying to keep the, it's like kind of going back to the 50s where the government is trying to, you know, control the morality of the population. So, you know, there's a, the main character who used to be like really wild out there. She, you know, spent a lot of time in like underground adult clubs and things like that. But she got married and so she's trying to stay on the straight and narrow, you know, because of her husband. And she has like a good life going on now. But somehow the husband, who is very straight laced and, you know, really on the up and up, gets flagged and he gets picked up as being like a deviant. So, you know, once this happens, you know, the wife is trying to figure out how she's going to get him back. And she basically turns back to her old friends that she used to hang out with for help. But now they don't want any part of her because, like, she went straight-laced and they kind of stayed on the underground and were always, you know, kind of stayed on the outskirts. And, you know, she's trying to kind of get back in with them to get help getting her husband out of the government facility. So, I don't know why she thinks that they can help her, but somehow she, I guess she doesn't have anywhere else to turn for help. But again, I like this book too. It's definitely a different, you know, it's Money Shot was a little bit quirkier and, you know, funner. This one, it really wasn't. It had a little bit more serious tone. But I liked it. Again, you know, interested to see where this goes, past the first two issues. So definitely another one to take a look at. Right. That's it.
All right. Excuse me. Sorry. You want to talk a little Marauders?
Yeah, sure.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
I liked it. Again, another one of those after House and Powers, you like... And this one seemed to have a little bit more of a Powers, like, white pages and...
Well, it did. It had some of the white pages, although, again, I liked how at the end we got the Sinister Secrets again.
Yeah,
which were pretty cool. But this one, I feel like, you know, it starts to really open up the scope of the world more.
Right.
For what's happening out there. Because, again, we get, not, and this is spoiler-free, but, you know, we get painted in House and Powers of a scene where Krakoa is, like, the utopia for all mutants. But
right.
We find out in this book now that not all mutants have been able to get there. Not all mutants are able to or even want to go there. And it's not, again, not quite the utopia for all mutants still.
Right.
So, you know, Kitty Pride, who, you know, now wants to be called Kate, basically gets recruited by Emma Frost to, you know, she wants her to basically control the flow of the medications, you know, in the business of Frost Enterprises.
Well, she wants to control it because she doesn't want, well, it's in the story, but I mean,
right.
Yeah,
but,
she doesn't
but
want
also,
the black market to take over.
Right. But also, a sub, plan here is to help ferry the mutants that want to get to Krakoa and are not able to basically
right.
to get, to help ferry them on their way. I wasn't sure that I was going to love, like, this is not my favorite team of mutants that they've put together.
No, you know, but
I like
the story.
I like Kitty
Pryde.
I like Pryde,
what they're doing.
But, you know, Storm, Iceman, and Pyro are not necessarily my favorite X-Men.
Yeah.
But you're right. I like the story here, and I do like what they're doing. I am interested, you know, there was a little bit of a, I don't want to say a, it wouldn't be a cliffhanger because it happened right at the beginning. But, you know, there was something that happened with Kitty Pryde that, you know, it's a mystery. You know, we're not sure what's going on there. So that kind of sets up something I'm sure we're going to find out going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, keeping it spoiler free. I can't talk tonight for some reason. I really like this book though. At least here in the beginning. Again, I'm not sure if this is one that will long term hold me.
You know what I liked about it? What I see if you feel this way or if you notice this. I feel like this is one, and this isn't very good for sales. I feel like this is one, like if you missed one, you could pick, like say you missed two, you pick up three, like they're going to go on missions.
Right.
And it's almost like each story, they're going to all be linked.
Yeah, they're probably almost anthology
type
stories.
Yeah, but you can, this one here sets it up, and then they're going to go, I know it's spoiler free, but it's almost kind of like, the Love Boat.
Yeah.
Show.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Keeping it not safe for work.
Yeah. But you know, no, you know what I mean? Like they're going to go on missions. They're going to go in whatever this week they're going to go do this. And I think I could follow along with that. And like if you miss one, it's not as big a deal.
Right. And when I first saw the title Marauders, I didn't necessarily put together that they were going to be pirates.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I just thought it was going to be the name of their team.
Well.
But right, it's definitely referenced in the story that they are pirates. So, which is also cool.
Yeah.
Kitty even has a sword. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Kate has a sword. Can't
Kate,
call her Kitty anymore. And I will say, not that anybody else cares about this, but I severely underestimated this book. Like, I didn't think the demand for this would be there. No, I'm talking, like, orders and sales.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was out of this. I didn't have a single copy when I opened this morning.
Oh.
Every variant was snapped up before I even opened. I really underordered this. So I don't know if, how every other retailer fared with this. But, if you want it, I'd go ahead and grab a copy. You know, I didn't think this was going to have the same kind of legs that like X-Men and House of Powers had. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people were looking for it, so.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep.
All right. Is that it?
I think so.
Is that all we got for this week?
That is all we have.
Goody. I got to get to bed. All right. No locked door this week. I'm tired.
All right. Nothing really. I mean, we don't really have anything to go over anyway. Spoiler.
Yeah.
You know, what's spoiler?
Well, you didn't see. I was going to say Watchmen, but you didn't see that. So.
I didn't see it.
All right. We'll save that for next week. All righty. Hey, hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. We are proud members of the Nerdy Legion. Go to the Nerdy Legion. Go to nerdylegion.com. Just subscribe there. You'll get everything, including my new show, which dropped, yesterday. Only because we got to get it out and get it published because it's not being hosted anywhere. But if you want to hear it, you can actually go and listen to it at the Nerdy Legion. But we're getting that out
there. I took a listen. Yeah, it was pretty good. So if you like home theater at all, you should give it a listen.
That's pretty amazing you listen, because you listen to me enough as it is.
I know.
I appreciate that.
I know.
So, all right. If we missed anything, we'll hit it next week. We actually have some more questions coming in. We'll hit some of those next week as well. And that's it for this week. What do we got for... Oh, next week is our... Next week we're doing The Crow for Halloween. And actually the following show will be put out on Halloween as well.
Yes.
So, all right. We will see you on Monday when we talk about The Crow from 1994.
Yep.
Wow. All righty. Have a good night. See you on Monday.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com, Apotheosis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apotheosiscomicsstl.com, Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com, Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X, and also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.